Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. And hey, if you haven't been here before, this happens every Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, you know that music means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
All right. Nice and warm today, relatively speaking.
Yes. For this time of year, we're calling it warm. But hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Yeah, if you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. And why not? You took the time to go all the way over there. You might as well like it. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, though. That's at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkeTime, and I can forward anything, any type of message you have for Stu, good, bad, or indifferent. I'll definitely send it to him, so don't worry about that. Oh, all right. So what is good today that we know about?
I'll wait for you to come up with something earth-shattering, something new and exciting in the world of sports. Anything?
It's been a very sad day. You know, one of the first things I heard this morning was that the singer Meatloaf passed away, and I very much enjoyed his music. And then later on, it was announced that Louis Anderson passed away. I wasn't as big a fan of Louis, but I did like his stand-up comedy, a couple sets I saw. So it's just been one of those odd days.
Yeah, I know that Louis was pretty funny in that kind of off avant-garde comedy series did a few years ago called Baskets. It was quite funny.
Yes.
And he played a woman in drag. It was kind of a quirky type show, and I guess he died of cancer. I'm not sure what the cause of death of Meatloaf was. Has that been disclosed yet?
I didn't see it, so... he was 74, so it could have been many things.
Yeah, Louis was 68, and of course he had some health issues over the years.
Yeah, and, knowing from experience, just being his size is a health concern.
Yeah, behind the scenes, supposedly a really a good guy, so he's going to be missed, and unfortunate to see him go.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a 3-time Emmy winner. So.
Yeah, he did a stand-up on the Carson show a number of years ago, kind of jump-started his career, and if you do well on that show, of course, you can really make a name for yourself.
Well, yeah, you know what they say. I mean, if Johnny would call you over to the desk, you were a hit.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
You know, that was a big deal. If you got that call, you were in.
Yeah, somebody, I remember when Freddie Prinze came on the show, the late Freddie Prinze, and he was great, terrific stand-up, and then his career just went downhill from there after a year or two. So not everybody
yeah,
can sustain that level of success.
I think drugs had a lot to do with that, though.
I'm sure that was a major factor, yes.
So, yeah, not sadly, unfortunately, that's a story we've heard a few times from different celebrities and people, and of course the wrestling community as well. We go through that. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But anyways, you and I were trading some emails earlier, and you mentioned that, as you know, the Chicago Bulls are playing the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, and oddly, I was surprised to find out that the Bucks are actually a 10.5-point favorite. I thought they would be favorite basically just because of the Bulls' injuries. I mean, they're missing two starters and, all those other things. But to get to 10.5 against, I mean, the Bulls are leading the Eastern Conference.
I was quite surprised when I saw that. I was looking at 6 points, 6.5 points myself.
So, yeah, I figured it would kind of be in that range because, I get it. Like I said, Zach LaVine is out and Lonzo Ball is going to be gone for anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. And with the way the NBA handles their injuries, probably more like 8 to 10. Because he had just very minor knee surgery. He had a meniscus repaired, which, trust me, is nothing. I've had that done in both knees along with many other things that I mentioned multiple times here before. He'll probably be out for quite a while. So, yeah, it just seems like a big number. Now, here I just found one where the line has jumped to 11.
Yeah, that... And it's hard to go against the oddsmakers because those guys, that's the way they make their living. And if they come up with 11 points, then they know something.
So, yeah, and, both teams are coming off a win. The Bulls broke their losing streak with a win over what it turned out to be a surprising Cleveland Cavaliers team. But I think Milwaukee's win was probably a little better as they beat the hottest team in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies. So,
yeah, and they won by double digits, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they actually won by 12. But the Bulls did win by 13. So they did both have, good wins over good teams. So, I'm surprised the line is a little high, or that high. And, to be fair, Milwaukee doesn't have any injuries. And they are, I believe, they're the team that directly behind the Bulls in the Eastern Conference standings. I want to pull that up to check it out. But, yeah, the Bulls are definitely going to need somebody else to step up. And the Bucks are actually fourth. They're two games behind the Bulls. It's the Bulls, the Miami Heat, the Brooklyn Nets, and then the Bucks.
Yeah, well, it should be an interesting game, but I have a feeling that the Bucks are going to come out victorious on this one.
So, yeah, I have to say if I did put my money down on, games like this, I would probably take that 11 points because that sounds like a pretty big number. So even if the Bulls lose, I think they stay within the 11. And now are you surprised that this is the only ESPN game of the night? I thought on Fridays they normally show two. I mean, I know the Lakers are playing early, so what, they couldn't get them on? Is that what happened?
I don't know. Usually they play, they have a West Coast game on too, don't they, on Fridays?
Yeah, and to be fair, the last matchup of the night isn't great. It's Houston at Golden State, and generally that would be the second game. But I'm guessing maybe they just didn't want to put the Rockets on. I know the Rockets have played a little better than expected, but you still wouldn't think of them as much of a challenge for Golden State.
No. And, right now Golden State is not even doesn't even have the best record in the West.
Well, no, God, Phoenix has played so well. It's, sadly nobody's going to talk about them because the team right behind them is Golden State. And for whatever reason, even though they're a game under 500, the media loves to talk about the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers are going to be hard-pressed to make the playoffs this season the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, they're looking like they're probably going to end up in that play-in tournament. And then, you know, you never know what happens. And trust me, the NBA will do everything they can to make sure the Lakers get into the playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind that that'll happen, even if it's the play-in, because they'll get them on television. So.
Well, they want to get James in as much as they can.
Yeah.
And Phoenix does currently have the longest winning streak in the NBA at 5 games, and they are the only team that doesn't have double-digit losses. They're 35-9. And easily have the best record in the NBA. But, yeah, nobody really says much about them.
Of course, they had a pretty good season last year, too.
Yeah, they did go to the finals and ended up losing to Milwaukee. So,
yeah, for some reason they can't seem to generate that press that some of the other teams get.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder if, you know, if they get to the conference finals and we get Phoenix at Golden State, can they, you know, can they get back there again?
Well, you wouldn't put it past them the way they're playing this season, but you know that Golden State's going to have something to say about that when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, you know, and interesting, this five-game road trip Phoenix has put together, all these games were on the road. Now, to be fair, it wasn't the best competition. They beat Toronto, Indiana, Detroit, San Antonio, and their last one against Dallas. Obviously, Dallas is a pretty solid team. But even so, you know, when you're on the road in the NBA, those games can be tough, even against bad teams. So, you know, not too shabby that they put together this winning streak on the road, you know, and now they're home to play Indiana, who just beat Golden State. So I believe Indiana beat Golden State and the Lakers in their last two matchup. So they're playing pretty well out west, and maybe they'll give Phoenix a game.
Yeah, it's funny that that Indiana, whose record is not all that great, would go on and beat Golden State.
Yeah, in Golden State, even.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
So, yeah, just one of those, you know, one of those odd NBA things that just kind of happens over a long season.
Yeah. And I was trying to do some research on something today and couldn't come up with anything definitive, but I'm beginning to change my mind about something. And we've talked about this before, about the danger and the injuries in various professional sports. And I'm becoming to switch my thinking on this one, and I'm becoming convinced now that there seems to be more injuries in basketball than any of the other sports overall.
Yeah, no, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you're correct. You know, a lot of it, I believe, kind of centers around the fact that, what's the best way to say it? These guys are basically soft. You know, they take time off for things that other guys wouldn't, you know, other sports or however you look at it, it's just the way it is, you know, in the NBA.
Yeah, well, think about it this way, though. It's the wear and tear in their knees. In football, you have an offense and a defense, and there's that lull between plays, too. In hockey, you're on skates, so that minimizes some of the pressure on your knees. In baseball, well, you have an offense and defense, and you bat 3 or 4 times a game, and sometimes an outfielder doesn't get into much of the action. But in basketball, you're up and down the court constantly, and that's got a wear and tear on your knees, more so than any of the other sports. And maybe that's the attrition factor involved with why there's so many injuries in the NBA.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that plays a little into it, but, you know, they do have, you know, obviously the best shoes money can buy to help, you know, fight that off. And, you know, you do wonder. I mean, you know, they're, you know, just using Zach LaVine as you know, not saying his injury isn't serious, but there was no structural damage to his knee. They reported that. So is he out because he's injured or because the Bulls want to rest him because they think it's a long season and that's what you do with guys now?
Well, let's put it this way. If the same injury happened to Michael Jordan in his heyday, you know he wouldn't. He would still have been in the lineup.
You know, I mean, you know, again, like I said, nothing against LaVine. He was just the guy, the first one that popped into my head. I'm sure there's, you know, plenty of guys. I mean, Draymond Green has been out, God, I think almost for a month now or maybe longer with a calf injury. They didn't go into any real details, but you got to figure if he's out that long, he had to have pulled it or strained it or something. But they just say calf. Well, obviously Golden State is going to the playoffs. They're going to be one of the top seeds. Might as well rest him, right? No need to have him play all these regular season games. So we keep him out with a calf injury.
Now, I can't see a calf injury being as serious as a hamstring injury. Am I correct? Would you say,
right,
being a former athlete, you would know the difference?
Well, depending, I mean, obviously, you know, you can do some pretty bad things to a calf just like you can to, you know, any other muscle. But, yeah, unless you really strain it or pull it, it's generally not that serious. But apparently Draymond is because, like I said, yeah, he hasn't played in – it's got to be at least a month, maybe more.
Do you think they're looking forward to – they're kind of anticipating this, because kind of resting him a little bit for the playoffs already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely – because, you know, you'll always hear the coach say, without fail, well, we're not going to rush him back. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, okay,
right.
you're going to look him back, but what if he's 100%? You're just going to continue to sit him out?
And if it were a crucial game, it were really an important game coming up in the schedule, I'd venture to say he'd be in the lineup somehow.
Yeah, he actually has not played since the 5th of January. I'm going to double check that, but that's what they have here. I'm going to get his full list of games just to make sure. But yeah, the 5th of January, he played 32 minutes against Dallas.
So he's only been out a couple of weeks then.
Yeah, well, it's been 16 days, and the report said he's going to be out 2 more weeks minimum. So he's going to be out over a month.
And there's no surgery involved with this or anything like that, and he's still going to take a month off before he gets back into action.
So, you know, yeah, just kind of what they have decided for him here, that he will miss at least 2 more weeks. But it gives former Bulls great Otto Porter a chance to get more minutes.
Yeah, that the great Otto Porter in action.
So, you know, I know he's picked up some extra minutes there in great Draymond's absence, and he has played in 34 of the Warriors' 45 games. Obviously, they'll play their 46th tonight. So.
Yeah, he's played in 80% of the games, so that's a nice solid number.
Yeah, the only two Warriors who have played in every game have been Kevin Looney and Nemanja Jelica. There you go. That's the best I could do. Sorry. So.
Yeah, I can't say that you pronounced it correctly or not.
Yeah. You know, and Klay Thompson won't play tonight because it is back-to-back. You know, and their game last night with the Pacers went into overtime. So he will not play tonight. He'll be rested. So, you know, and you do wonder how many minutes even Steph Curry will get, being the fact that they had an overtime game last night.
You think they'll reduce the amount of minutes he'll play tonight because of that?
It's possible. I'm sure they would like to. You know, if they could find a way to work that out. Well,
yeah, they do.
It's
almost like a semi maintenance schedule with some of these players now in the NBA.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, and again, they're playing the Rockets, who, you know, again, they've won a few more games than I think people thought they were going to, but they're, you know, they've only got 14 wins. It's not like they're going to be a huge threat, but they, you know, they have won their last two games and three of their last four. They beat the Utah Jazz, who are one of the better teams. So
they played better lately, but you don't think that they would really have a chance tonight against Golden State?
Yeah, you wouldn't think. It's the NBA, and weird things seem to happen in games at times, but yeah, you're not expecting the Rockets, who do have the worst record in the Western Conference, to beat the team with the second-best record in the Western Conference. But, again, you know, you never know.
Like you pointed out, the strange things do happen sometimes in the NBA.
You know, and I believe they are in Houston, so maybe that helps them a little bit.
Well, I'm sure it's going to help them rather than being on the road. Of course, it's going to help them.
It's in Golden State, because Golden State was home last night.
Yeah. So yeah. What do you think?
And Golden State is
an
11-point
favorite. At least an 8-point favorite. If you looked at the spread, it's got to be at least an 8 or 9-point spread for sure in that game.
It's 11, just like the Bucks.
Oh, the same like the Bulls game?
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. So maybe that's the thing. Is tonight the home teams are all favored by 11?
There are some closer games scheduled tonight. I mean, I noticed there was a few toss-ups, close games that appear to be on paper a lot more competitive than those two games.
Yeah, you'd hope so. You know, I mean, they're not, I'm sure they're not all blowouts. It just, you know, seems like you run into those. I would be hard-pressed, though, to take Houston and the points. I would still probably give those away with Golden State. So.
But you would be inclined to maybe take the Bulls with the points.
Yeah, I would probably take the Bulls, like I said, if I was a betting man. And, again, don't, trust me, do not go on my advice. You don't want to listen to really anything I had to say when it comes to betting. I mean, my football picks over the weekend, I was only 3-3. Stu got all his right. He did post on sportstimeradio.com his picks. So, but yeah, I did not.
Well, most of the favorites won. That's why I was 6-0. I think the only upset I picked was the San Francisco game.
Yeah, and my stupidity, I went with Dallas thinking they were actually going to perform, and they did not. So, but, yeah, looking here, it looks like the closest line in the NBA tonight has Miami as a 1.5-point favorite over Atlanta.
That must be in Atlanta, though, that game. Otherwise, it would be a bigger spread.
Brooklyn is a 1.5-point. Yeah, Brooklyn is a 1.5-point favorite over San Antonio, and that game's in San Antonio. So, yeah, and then the biggest point spread you have to lay, would you take the Jazz to beat the Pistons and give the 13.5 points away?
That's an awful lot of points, but I probably would venture to say they were going to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll, just one of those one of those fun things. If you're a gambler, you're trying to figure all this out. So hopefully, like I said, you do better than I do.
Yeah, right. And well, maybe you'll do better with the playoff games this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting my picks ready for the blog tomorrow. You know, I will definitely have them in there and ready to go, and we'll see how that works out for me there.
How many playoff games are there this weekend in football?
Four.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the divisional round, so we get four this week. So, yeah, and then two next week, and then we get the week off. I think they're playing the Pro Bowl on the off week this year, so you'll be able to watch that. And then we get the Super Bowl, of course.
I think you pointed out last week for some reason that the Pro Bowl gets pretty good ratings, but I can't watch that. I can't watch that game.
I can't watch the Pro Bowl, the NBA All-Star game. I can watch a little of the NHL, but not much. The only one I can watch is baseball because it's actually baseball.
Yeah, as we talked about, the NBA All-Star game is just the worst. And one of these days I'm going to be right, and there'll be 200 points scored on both for each team in the All-Star game for the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. And we do have, you know, not only locally do we have the Bulls in action tonight, but we do have the Blackhawks in action. They are taking on the Minnesota Wild. Let me see. Yeah, the Wild are the favorite, and the over-under for goals in the game is 6. That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot, but, of course, if I were a betting man, I would have to say that the Wild seems like the logical choice tonight to win the game. I think it's a back-to-back, isn't it? I think they play tomorrow in Minnesota.
Oh, do they? So.
I thought I read that somewhere. Looks like maybe I'm wrong.
Minnesota is
favored by a goal and a half. I always think it's weird when you do that with hockey, but I guess that's how you don't have much choice. That's how you got to do it. So.
Yeah, but that's a high number for goal scored in the game.
Yeah, it seems like a lot, right? 6 is just, but there has been a lot of scoring in the NHL this year. And I guess, you know, it's going to depend probably who's in goal for each team. You know, is it the starter? Is it the backup? You know, I know the Hawks are missing, you know, their number one defenseman, Seth Jones, is on IR. So, you know, their defense hasn't been great anyways.
No. And have there been some new rumors coming around that the Blackhawks might be interested if the deal was right to peddle Fleury?
Yes. Yeah, that came out today, I believe. There was some talk. Fleury actually shot down those rumors, said he wasn't concerned at all. You know, he is in the final year of his contract, so with the Blackhawks looking like a non-playoff team, it might not be a terrible idea for them to try to move him to a contender or a team that may get into the playoffs and get something for him before he retires or just signs somewhere else.
If they were to trade him, what would they expect in return?
You know, I'm sure they would just get some young players. I think that's what, you know, that's all they're really looking for at this point, right? I mean, they don't need anything to help them this year, but, you know, again, being the fact that he's only got this year left on his contract, you're not going to get a ton.
No, probably not.
So,
well,
you know,
he has carried the Blackhawks in a few games here at least. And their record, which is not very good to begin with, would be even worse if it weren't for him.
Yeah. So, you know, and they keep saying, you know, I keep hearing that Colin, is it Delia? Is that how it's pronounced? I believe that they keep saying that he's a future number one NHL goalie. So, you know, if you move Fleury, you could call him up and just let him play and see if he can do it.
hasn't he had a couple of opportunities with the Blackhawks in previous years?
Yeah, but not on a full-time basis. So.
Well, maybe they'll.
You wonder if that would, you know, being full time, you know, knowing that you're the number one and not having to worry about it, maybe it would help him.
Well, I'm not sure if he'd be considered number one. If they traded Fleury, wouldn't Lankinen be the number one goalie then?
Well, you know, I mean, you just got to kind of, you know, let Delia play. And then that kind of makes him the number one by
see how he does.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe they will do the deal and peddle Fleury before the season ends. And, of course, the only logical thing to do would be to trade him to a contender.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I know there has been talk for a while that, you know, maybe it's time to move on from Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews as well. So, you know, you wonder if we'll see a big moves out of the Blackhawks and just kind of start all over. But I don't know if they would do that.
Would that be a bigger shock to the Blackhawks fans base than the Chris Bryan, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo moves by the Cubs? If they were to peddle Toews and Kane?
You know, I think Kane being moved would be a huge surprise because he's still a viable NHL player. I mean, he can still score. He's fantastic at, you know, handing out assists. Where Toews is really, let's face it, he hasn't looked great. Maybe the year off hurt him or however it works out, but yeah, I mean, have you seen anything in his game that makes you think he's going to kind of rebound and be that guy again?
Not really. And it took him a long, long time to finally score his first goal of the season too. He had his assist, yes, but his first goal took a long, long time.
So, yeah, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, what he's got left. So,
I'm sure the 1 year off didn't help.
Yeah. You know, and to be fair, I mean, even Patrick Kane really isn't scoring goals. He's got 9 goals through 35 games. He does have 26 assists. But the only two Blackhawks with double-digit goals are Alex DeBrincat, who's way ahead with 23, and then Brandon Hagel has 10. So they definitely have a scoring issue.
Yeah, this has definitely been a down year for Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially goal-scoring-wise.
Yes, definitely. Now, he picked it up a week or two ago. I think he went on a roll, a mini roll, but lately he's back getting some assists but not scoring that much in the way of goals.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see if, you know, again, something like that changes, you know, as the year, you know, goes on. But, I mean, you know, even more disappointing for me is the fact that, you know, I keep hearing Kirby Dach is going to be this big star, and he's got 6 goals and 8 assists in 36 games. So how big of a star is it?
The one on
he does lead
IR.
The team
has a good career ahead of him, though. The one who's on IR for the Blackhawks, I think, is going to have a promising career.
Yep. He leads the team in penalty minutes.
Well, that's good. You need one of those tough guys like, before your time, there was Reggie Fleming, who was a well-known enforcer for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I would have said Keith Magnuson, but that's just me. So.
Yeah. Keith was not nearly as tough as Reggie Fleming.
I don't know. Keith was a pretty tough dude, though, you know. So.
You got to be tough to play. You got to be tough to play hockey. That is for sure. Of course, it's not the same as it was years ago. I mean, you don't see the the fighting, the vicious fighting that you saw 20 years ago.
Oh yeah, that they've gotten rid of some of that. So
one of the toughest players ever as a fighter was, by the way, was Gordie Howe of the Detroit Red Wings. One of the toughest fighters in the history of the game.
Well, remember, the Gordie Howe hat trick is a goal and assist and a fight in a game.
Yeah, yeah. And not too many were willing to go against him in a fight.
Yeah, so. But looking at it here, Alexander Ovechkin actually leads the NHL in goals. He's ahead of Leon Draisaitl by one. He's got 27. DeBrincat is fifth with his 23, so he's scoring, you know, definitely. He's right there with the top scorers, but sadly there are just no other Blackhawks in that area.
No, their offense has been pretty dismal this season.
Definitely.
I was very surprised last week when they shut out Anaheim. That was a big upset as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know how it is. You get that good goalie play, and you know anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, if your goalie is having that kind of night, you know, it's kind of like the playoffs. You know, that team that gets that hot goalie can really roll through the playoffs.
But the game the Blackhawks just lost in a shootout, was it against Vegas the other day?
Seattle.
The Kraken. Seattle Kraken is not a very good hockey team, and the Blackhawks looked absolutely horrible against them, especially late in the game and in overtime.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the weirdest overtimes I ever saw. It seemed like Seattle had the puck almost the entire time, but they didn't get very many good scoring chances. They just kind of did a lot of skating around.
Yeah, they did have one that went off the post at the end of the overtime.
Yeah, I think they had two or three that I counted that were really decent scoring chances. But, I mean, they literally had the puck. It had to be for 7/8 of the overtime.
Yeah, when you see that happening, you know there's something wrong with the Blackhawks team because, as pointed out before, Seattle is certainly not a very good hockey team. And they dominated the Blackhawks with puck possession like that.
Yeah, they have 28 points on the season, which puts them ahead of four teams. So. But, yeah, and then, you know, if you're curious, the Colorado Avalanche currently have the longest winning streak at 5 games. So. And they are in the Blackhawks division.
Yeah, they've been solid all season. They've got to be one of the favorites to go to the finals this year.
Yeah, with the way they're playing, they're definitely there. Along with Florida is currently the top point scorer in the NHL with 59. So they're tied with Tampa Bay. So maybe Tampa Bay will three-peat with the way it's going.
Yeah, they are very strong. Both teams in the Florida area are playing great hockey.
So yeah, that's very interesting.
Not so much for the fans of the Blackhawks, though.
No, unfortunately, it is not. The Blackhawks, well, you know, to be fair, you know, they are only 11 points out of a wild card spot. So, you know, I mean, it is doable. There's still a lot of games left to play. So we'll see how it goes. But obviously, if they trade Fleury, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and 11 points is not that easy to make up either. And I don't see them coming into the playoffs again this season, although at the beginning of the season, I think the so-called experts thought that they had a good chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were a playoff pick for sure. But to be fair, I mean, if they go on a 5-game winning streak, that's 10 points right there. So you can make it up quickly in the NHL if you can get hot. I just don't know if this is the team to do it.
No, their offense looks very, very weak to me, and their defense is not so great either. I mean, a lot of times they look very sloppy on defense, and they're fortunate they have a good goaltending, because it seems like a lot of the action takes place on their end of the court, game after game after game.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, again, just another down year.
Do they still get the capacity crowds now that they're permitted back at the full capacity, like they did in the old days before the COVID?
I'm sure they do very well.
And, of course, the Bulls are probably selling out now, too, with their improvement this season.
Yeah, you would think with the way they've been doing, you know, the way they've been playing, they would be right there as well. So,
well, it'll be great for the city of Chicago if the Bulls will pull off the upset tonight.
Yeah, no, you know, that would be a good win against a good Milwaukee team who doesn't have any injuries. You know, while the Bulls are looking to, you know, get their guys back and healthy, but yeah, sadly I just don't see that happening.
No. But this is certainly when they're all healthy, this certainly has got to be the best Bulls team in the last 20 years.
Yeah, probably. You know, when I'm trying to remember when the last time the Bulls were good. So.
Well, Rose, when Derrick Rose was, before he got injured, they had a couple of good seasons.
That one run with Derrick Rose when he was MVP, and it looked like, you know, they were going to be a contender for quite some time until he got hurt. So.
And isn't he injured now also, by the way? Isn't he hurt again?
He, right now, I think it's a wrist, though. It's not, anything bad, you know, as bad as the knee. It was the 2010-2011 season when they went to the conference finals and Derrick Rose won the MVP. So, yeah, this is probably the best team they've had in 10 years.
Was that the year that he got hurt in one of the playoff games?
No, it was the next year he got hurt, and they got beat in the first round.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he's unfortunately he's had his share of injuries throughout the course of his NBA career.
Yeah, it's you know who knew that would be the case. You know, he. You know, you only got to see him the 1 year in college, and then, you know, he was the big-time top draft pick coming home, and once he got that first injury, he just continued to get him.
Yeah, and I have to still chuckle when I think the Bulls getting that lucky break and getting to select him in that NBA draft, too.
Yeah, again, I don't know how lucky that actually is when you look at the way the lottery has fallen. But, hey, it worked out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's been out for a month with a right ankle injury that actually needed surgery. And he's not even going to be reevaluated for another month. So, yeah, he's gone. You know, I honestly, I won't be surprised if he's just done for the year.
And as we've talked about before, I just hope that he's invested wisely.
Yeah, well, you know, he was, you know, talking about, remember, about wanting to be healthy to play with his kids and be in the boardroom and stuff. And with all the money he's made, you'd like to think, you know, he's in good shape.
Yeah, well, I, you know, you hope he didn't have one of these entourages that he's financing and stretching himself.
No, he. You know, you don't hear anything like that about him.
Which is good.
So, we'll, you know, we'll see. But interestingly here, I don't know if you saw this one, but the Players Association is all set to present the owners with their proposal on January 24th, so next week.
Next Monday. Next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday.
Huh?
Yeah, and now I don't know, you know, this is going to be a counter offer to what the owners presented. So I have a feeling this is going absolutely nowhere. But I guess at least they're going to be talking.
And do you think this is going to be summarily rejected out of hand, or are they actually going to say, well, let's take a look at this and see if maybe we can tweak a couple of points here? Are the owners going to say, no, we don't accept anything of this proposal?
You know, unfortunately, with the way the players have acted during this negotiations, I have a feeling it's going to be a ludicrous offer, and the owners are just going to reject the entire thing. So,
yeah, I wonder what the mindset is with both the players and the owners regarding this, when they know they're going to reject these proposals, and what the fans, do they actually care what the fans think about when these things are rejected out of hand like this?
No.
They don't care at all.
Not at all. No, they care about one thing, both sides, and that's money. You know, they don't care what you and I think. They don't care what their season ticket holders think. You know, they don't care about any of that. You know, even though they claim they do not. So
it reminds me of the old Buddy Rogers promo. What do you care about, Buddy? And he says, the green, Daddy, the bread, the Jack.
Exactly.
And I think he was probably
you
serious
know,
when he said that, too. Don't
ever admit that.
But that's what they want.
Yep. You
would
like
all they're looking for.
You would like to see some progress, a little progress, any kind of progress.
It would be nice. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to. And spring training is only a little over a month away before pitchers and catchers report.
Well, don't some of the players report at the end of January?
You know, there were guys that would go in early to start working out, but that wasn't mandatory.
Well, if they were smart, if the players are smart, they would stay in shape. They would do their own regime and bodybuilding and exercises and stay ready if there's a delay in spring training.
Yeah, but remember, there were a lot of guys crying that they couldn't handle the season last year because they only played 60 games the year before that. So you kind of wonder what these guys do when they're off.
Party hardy.
Yeah, so. But there was some other baseball news. The automatic strike zone is coming to AAA in 2022, and if you're interested in maybe ending your retirement, there were 10 teams that posted a hiring notice for seasonal employees to operate the automated ball and strike system. And one of the teams was the Charlotte Knights, which is the White Sox AAA team.
I happened to see a little blurb on that today, and I wanted to ask you, is this going to be throughout in every team in AAA or just selected few?
No, just some.
Okay, not everybody.
Yeah, just some of them. Now, you know, they've been testing this for 3 years at the independent level league and then low A in minors. So it's making the big jump all the way to AAA, and we'll see how it goes.
Boy, it's almost frightening when you think about it. And what are the fans going to do when they object to a call and they don't have an umpire to boo?
Yeah, that's the thing is how does obviously you can't argue balls and strikes, so it'll cut down on ejections.
Yeah, I could see the player arguing with the computer.
Yeah, and I mean it should speed up the game. I mean, there's no reason for a guy to stand there and stare at the ump or do any of that stuff. There's nobody, nothing there. Let's just go.
And when there's a call by the computer, will that be just on the scoreboard? How is that going to work?
That I don't know. I haven't seen it used. So I'll have to, I'll have to check out a AAA game and see what they do with it.
Yeah, that's very strange when you think about it. I mean, that's a shocking jolt from traditional baseball when you think about it, though.
Yeah, so it's definitely something new, but I mean, if it works out, I mean, sadly, I don't think they could ever get it approved through the major leagues because the umpires have a union, and they're never going to agree to lose their jobs. So
no. And during the course of the game, of course, there will still be a home plate umpire because what if there's a play at the plate?
Right. Plays at the plate, so that does happen.
And what does the umpire do during the rest of the game when there's no play at the plate? Just stand there?
Yeah, again, I don't know. I've never I've never witnessed it, so
right.
We'll have to. But yeah, you would think he's got to be out there, right? I mean, that, and I don't think this calls check swings, so you'll need an umpire for that behind the plate as well.
That's right. Also, that's right. The computer can't make that kind of a call, so it's gonna kind of some strange scenarios going to happen.
You'll need the umpire for some of the miscellaneous things that they do. Fair foul calls, stuff like that. So yeah, my guess is he'll just be back there hanging around.
Yeah, that. I'll be looking forward to seeing one of those games with Charlotte, which will probably be covered on the sports channel, of course. And I'll be kind of curious to see how it looks. Not saying I'm going to like it, though.
I'll be really interested to see how that kind of goes. I mean, it just seems a little weird, but.
It does.
I guess with him standing back there, it won't seem as unnatural. But, yeah, when they're not there, it's definitely going to be strange.
No question about it. And as you pointed out, I don't think we'll ever see that, though, at the major league level.
No. No chance. So.
And I'm in complete agreement with that. If we ever get Major League Baseball again, that is.
Yeah, that's true. We may not have games for, quite a while. So, by the time they come back, if they sit out too long, I won't even be interested in watching what they do this season. I just won't care.
Yeah, this is not the right time to have a strike like that.
No, they're all idiots. And it's just all about the dollar. It's just money.
As we pointed out, that old cliche that they always come up with, millionaires fighting billionaires.
Yep. Just one guy wants the bigger piece of the pie is all. So that's all any of this has to do, regardless of what they say or what they try to tell you. It is strictly, and I mean just strictly, about money.
Yep. And the players always say, well, it's for the fans. We're doing this for the fans and for future generations. What's the other one they always say? We're not doing it for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're doing it for the future generation of baseball players.
Yep, exactly. And it's all BS. It's just so they can get a bigger paycheck when that contract comes up for themselves. So they could care less about the fans. They could care less about the guys in the minors. It's just cash.
Yeah, and they're so well paid now, and how much is enough already, really?
Yeah, so, you know, and yeah, and I mean, you know, what baffles me is why isn't it just a 50-50 split? Why does somebody have to have more?
Yeah, you think that's a logical way to go. We'd say, okay, let's split it right down the middle. Fair on both sides. And I thought the same thing. In fact, you read my mind.
But
I'm
no,
going to bring that up. Why do they do that?
Have more. I don't know. I've wondered that forever. So
we could put
you know,
the whole issue to bed right away and play baseball.
Right. You know. But yeah, they don't do that.
Well, we're just observers of the scene, and I guess maybe we don't understand all the ramifications, but it would appear to be something simple to resolve, like you pointed out. Split it right down the middle and play ball.
Yep. But no, you know, they gotta, you know, I've gotta have my bigger piece of the pie than you do because it's not fair if you get more. So. But we also can't split the pie 50-50 either.
Yeah, on paper it seems like such an easy solution, but there's too much pride involved, I guess, on both sides to make a compromise, a fair compromise.
Yeah, apparently.
But yeah, it's just like, really, you know, you're going to put us through this again, and then try to sell us BS. So.
Yeah, I'm afraid that this time, if there's a protracted strike, I'm not sure the fans are going to come back this time.
No, it's going to be tougher and tougher for them to continue to get the fans back after this BS. But yet again, they don't care. And that's the saddest part about the whole thing, is they just don't care.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate that it will come to this.
Yeah. You know, it just goes that way. They're like, oh, well, so what? The fans, you know, who? The fans what? Nah, who cares?
Yeah, it's a slap in the face to the baseball fan.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what they're willing to do. For money.
That's the name of the game.
Yep.
All right, let's go play our music. We're going to play that one. Well, we'll be back. I mean, I'm not going to do one for my own, but hopefully we'll be back every month. And while we're gone, you know, to be at sportsmedia.com. The one goes up there tomorrow, so look for that. You know, the sports channel, Facebook page, you know, you want all the little gifts and likes, but don't forget to put it to Sports Time Radio.